We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to Shaar Hadat, Perek Tet, the ninth chapter of Shaar Hadat. And this is maybe the most important chapter we've learned thus far. And basically, he's asked us the following question. He said, why is it so difficult for us to connect with the concept that God is running the world? Why is it that we seem to have barriers? And he said, there are two prime causes. One is the fact that we live in a physical world and things that we sense with our physical senses impress us most, and God is a concept that is not perceived by our physical senses. It might be logical, but it's still not perceived by the senses, so we have a harder time connecting to a concept that we don't sense. And the second one is our own pride. And he said that one might be the bigger one, because we like to feel like we're the boss, and it's very hard, and it's not so sweet to feel like there's someone else running the show here. And he said, if we really want to connect to the concept and we want to be true to the truth, so then a person has to soften himself. A person has to realize that if he wants to connect, he has to allow himself modesty and allow himself to see the truth. A person has to recognize his limited control over this world. A person has to be true to himself and realize that he doesn't control when he lives and dies, and there's very little we control in the world. And only when we attain a certain level of modesty will we start being comfortable with the idea that God is running the show. Ben Adam, we're up to the middle paragraph on page Ayin Chet. He says, son of man, which is another way of saying homo sapien, human being. Man, pkach einecha ur'ei. Why don't you just open your eyes and see? Hamshaltim elyonim, hasichliim anivdalim, the upper servants, meaning these angels, im kol taratam ukdushatam, although they are so pure and holy, echem machniim atzmam lifnei hamamtziyam, how they have humility before the one who created them, al yedei avchanatam asher metziutam inam chuyevet aleihem. And that stems from the fact that they recognize that they don't have control over their own existence. They don't have to exist. The verse in Nehemiah says, you give all life, and the armies of the heavens bow before you. So the idea of the concept of the pasuk is that even the armies of the heaven, even the angels, they recognize that you give them life, and there's nothing that gives them life other than you. Meaning there's nothing forcing their existence. Nothing has to be this way, and nothing's indispensable. It's interesting, the Medrash says it even about Moshe Rabbeinu. Not indispensable. We think, how would the world go on without Moshe? The Talmud says, no. Moshe was on the verge of going. No one's indispensable. V'chol mitziyutam mekiyumam mushpa lehem et ha-mashpia ha-elyon baruch hu, and all of their existence is because the Upper One, blessed be He, gives them existence. Kol sheken ata, how much more so you, hadal v'anivzeh, the impoverished, the shameful creature, the human being, asher kvar hiktzavta lifnei boracha pa'amim rabot. Think of how many times you've gotten your Creator angry. Ech lo tevosh v'lo tikaleh mipnei kvodo, how are you not shamed and embarrassed in front of His honor? V'tachlim ha'achna'a, k'mo shorut anu chazal, sheyeh be'inav k'shirayim. V'tachlit ha'achna'a, we're up to the last paragraph on the page. The essence of humility is, as our sages taught us, that a person should feel like he's leftovers. Meaning, we always feel like we're the prime course. I'm the main point here. The world is here for me, and sometimes a person has to know that. Chazal say a person has to have two pockets. And in one pocket, he has to have a note that says, Bishvili nivra olam, the whole world was created for me. I'm a pretty important creature in that. I have a lot of responsibility to live up to. On the other hand, he has to know humility. There's a balance. A person shouldn't let himself be wiped off the planet. A person shouldn't say, I'm worthless, I'm nothing, because then a person can come to every sin, because what difference does it make what I do if I'm worthless and nothing? On the other hand, a person has to have humility. And that's what our sages said, that a person should view himself like leftovers. Hu davar sheino ba lashulchan ki im derech agav. That's something you bring by the way. You bring a side course, you bring in some leftovers. And a person has to think sometimes, he has to think sometimes when he feels like he's too haughty, and he says that's going to get in his way. Connecting with his Creator, it's hard to ask God for anything if I feel like I'm in control. It's hard to think of God running the world if I like to think I'm running the world, if I'm the boss. And if you want to develop this concept, we could develop it on many fronts. We've discussed many times. God's signature is what? Emet, truth. Truth is synonymous with humility, because what is the essence of humility? I recognize that there's very little I can take credit for. We've often said, if a person were born in the middle of a jungle in Africa, I don't care if he's a Harvard graduate today, where would he be today if not for the fact where he was born, the circumstances he was in, the education he got? With all his potential, where would he be? If a person were born crippled, a paraplegic, where would he be today? What are the odds he'd get to where he got today? What is there in life that we can take credit for? There's very little. We were granted a lot of gifts to where we got. There were a lot of gifts that supported us, be it our family, our surroundings, our education, our health, our understanding. So yes, what we can take credit for is our decisions of how to use those gifts that we were granted. But at the end of the day, that's about it. Everything else are tools that we cannot take credit for. So a person has to have that humility, and a person doesn't want to. A person likes to feel in control. That's part of being human, is that we like to feel in control. But a person has to work on that, because that gets in his way. The truth is, it gets in his way in many ways. They have a saying in investments: if you succeeded in 3 investments, shut the computer. Because a person in everything, once he feels like he's on a streak, he's on a winning streak, so he feels there's this high where a person feels like, I can do anything. The same thing when it comes to our philosophy. It's hard for us to recognize someone else is running the show, because in everything in life, we like to feel like we're doing. And the truth is, we are doing, but we have to remember the limitations of that. And the truth is that we're not oblivious to this concept that we're only visitors here in this planet. Nonetheless, a person should take note. He shouldn't think to himself, he says, I know I'm a guest here, but you know, I'm a pretty good guest. Sometimes a person feels like, I'm a guest that you bring because you like having him over. Very often a person feels that way. And it's good if you can make your guests feel that way, that's very good. But a person in this planet could sometimes feel the same way. I know I'm a guest here, but God is so happy with me. I'm doing such a good job here. I'm God's gift to mankind. Person should know his place on this planet, should also recognize that he's a guest here, and he shouldn't feel like I'm really a great catch here on this planet. Certainly he shouldn't feel like he's the boss here. Person feels like he's the boss, and of course he's here, because he deserves to be here, he has a right to be here. That's not true. But rather, a person should view himself, a person should view his existence like a guest that they had pity on, that's why they took him in. That's a perspective. Gives us a little humility. Then tzichin lo kol mu'uma, and they don't need him for a squat. They brought him in because poor guy who was out in the rain, they said, come in and have a warm meal. So God said, poor soul, come into this planet. Let me give you a chance to do something. The master here collected him into the house because of his poverty, because the master of the house, he's not too proud. So let him sit at the table with humility. That's the way a person should behave in this world, next to the own master of the house, the one up above, Baruch Hu, blessed be he. God doesn't need you for anything. And that's a very, very key point. Very often, especially in the tshuva or the gear process, a person gets the feeling, I'm doing you so much, God. Come on, you owe me. Really, that's the way we all feel. A guy wakes up for davening in the morning and he's like, you know how hard it was to get out of bed. God, come on. Why didn't I make $1 million today? Or why didn't I get that job I went to the interview? Or why didn't it work? Or why did my wife yell at me? Or why are my kids not listening to me? Or why did I burn my toast? You know, a person can really do things that are difficult, and I don't want to put down the difficulties, but we have to know our place a little bit. He says a very powerful line that we don't like to hear. He says, God has no need for you. He doesn't need you. You're not doing him any favors. Lolit kebed ulit yaker imach. You're not for your honor. It's not, you're not doing him anything. Kim ligmolim chachesed. He's doing kindness for you. Misibat taluta kavatcha, for your poor composition, a mere mortal. Ulachiotcha ulamshich metziutcha, to give you life and continued existence. Vata ben adam tna libcha lazot. So take note of this, he says. V'kacha tarich terkecha. And that's how a person should evaluate himself. V'chen tashit laderech pa'amecha. And that's the way he should go on the path. V'kayem b'cha ma'amar. To fulfill the verse, k'dalim uchrashin dafaknu dlatecha. When we come in preparation for the Yom Kippur, we say in the Slichos, we always say every morning, we're knocking like the impoverished on your door. We're coming here like paupers knocking on the door asking, please forgive us. So that's our chapter. I'm very tempted to take some wind out of the chapter, but I'm not sure if it's a good idea or not. Meaning he's spoken very harsh words. There's a lot to discuss about this. Because he touches on a very, very gentle point, which really deserves a series, not even a whole class, but a series. When he says, God did not create you for his honor, but to do kindness unto you. Now, that's a big concept, philosophically. God created me to do kindness unto me, and we'll just ask the questions, even though we don't have time for a series discussing the answers. What about the kid that's sitting in the oncology ward at 2 months old, at 3 years old? Was he also created to do kindness unto him? What about all the people that are tortured to death? What about all the people in Iran? He says a sentence here which we could just gloss over and say, right, that makes sense, we understand that. But we have to remember, it's not so simple. Meaning, there's a lot to discuss here. He's saying a concept which needs development. I mean, it needs work. He's saying, God gets no honor out of you. Okay, so then when a person dies, al kiddush Hashem, he didn't sanctify God's name. And when a person treats God's name with respect, he didn't honor God's name. So obviously the answer is he did. But then the question is, so what does he mean to say? So I'm saying we're reading words very simplistically, but sometimes what happens when you read a word, you just say, yeah, 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 and you become yes men. Guys, we're not supposed to be zombies. And no one else is asking the questions, so I'll ask the questions. These concepts need work, but he's only in the middle of talking, so we have to hear him out. He's in this chapter, he's focusing on how we should get ourselves to humility. And obviously there are aspects where what he's saying is very accurate and very true. But as we learn the book, as we continue, we will see that he will modify these statements. Meaning he will give us other understandings, he will address the questions I'm raising, but we got to give him time. I'm just saying at the same time, you know, if you're willing to challenge a book, then I wouldn't be surprised if someone would say, hey, I don't buy that. I don't understand it. Maybe it's right, but I don't get what he's saying. So you're right. He's saying a sentence which is very encompassing of a topic which requires a lot of work. He's going to touch on the topic, but for now we just have to realize that his whole point, he isn't coming to address that topic. He's going to address our own humility. If we want to be truthful to God's existence, then one of the hurdles to cross is our own pride, which gets in our way. And to that he says, look at yourself as you're not doing God any favor, but rather God is doing you a favor. He doesn't need you and you need him. That's the idea. With regard to that question of, wait a second, what do you mean? The whole point of the world is to do kindness. That requires work, and as we go forward, we'll understand that better. Yes?
You could also take the extremely cynical view and say, the child tells his parents, well, I didn't ask to be born.
Right. Right? I gave an example that everyone could agree with, but the truth is I didn't want to bring in. Ramchal says that one of his logical proofs to the world to come is, he says, this world is so miserable, this can't be the end all. He says a line like that. He says, there's got to be something better out there because there's so much suffering going on here. Things are so difficult that there's got to be something else out there. There's got to be a world to come. He says a line like that. So I'm saying, when he says to do kindness unto you, we can't take that literally. There's more to be said about that. What type of kindness is he talking about? What is the kindness in living here? So that requires a lot of work. I'm just raising the questions because I can't just read a sentence like that and ignore it. The truth is, like we said, it deserves its own series. And as we continue in the book, we will see, we will get better understandings of this concept. But that will take time. That wasn't his point here. I'm just saying, even though he says the sentence here, that's not his point here. We'll get to that. Is that true? Okay.